Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, Lake Michigan spring fishing, tips for buying land in Coulee Country, and safety advice for pet owners. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins me from home in Wisconsin Rapids again this week. And, Jeff, we are recording this on Friday morning, which is the latest we can possibly do it and get it to the stations for the weekend. I understand you're going fishing today?
Well, I am. I'm hoping I'm even going to go catching, but fishing is in the cards. I'm going to take a friend of mine from church, and he has never fished the Wisconsin River system before, so it's a good time to at least try. I mean, the water level's doing some goofy stuff with the latest rain and snow mix and all that, but that is what the walleyes like. That's usually what pushes them upriver, at least at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I talked to Jesse Qualley at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo. We just passed like ships in the night, and he said, oh yeah, the river's open, the lakes are open, fish are biting, but it's kind of tricky this time of year.
Yeah, can be tricky. You got to find your wing dams, your eddies, your places where there isn't as much current coming down, and you probably got to use a little bit more live bait than you do plastics and things like that, just to entice that bite.
Yeah, good. Well, it'll be good to get out. Is this your first outing on open water?
This will be my second outing on open water, believe it or not, Dan. Oh. I went out a number of days ago now, I guess, and caught myself my first sturgeon. I've never caught a sturgeon before, and I managed to catch two of them in the same day.
Wow. Okay.
So, one was probably mid-30s. The other one was 43 inches, that one we put on the board.
So. Yeah, cool. Well, that is, that's exciting. I've never done it. I've seen them. But, you know, that's what can happen this time of year when you're fishing the rivers, because they're in there too.
Yeah, you just never know. We caught a few cats, some small walleyes, and then, two sturgeon. And once you had the sturgeon on, you knew you had something big, you know?
Yeah.
And pure muscle, I've never held one before, so that was really just kind of a cool experience.
Yeah. Well, I've seen them at the registrations for spearing, season, but I've never picked one up myself either. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready for turkey season?
I am. In fact, I got some cameras out in some places to do a little scouting. Youth season is coming up next weekend. I'm gone for most of it, but there'll be about a 1 day window. Maybe Sunday, maybe not even all day Sunday, but Sunday we're hoping to get Robert out and get a bird. And I still see him in their big winter flocks, so. Every now and then I get a picture of a breakaway tom, and I think those are the ones that are really longing for some attention. So hoping that happens over the course of the next week here, we get a few more of those to break away, and there'll be a bunch listening for hens.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm looking forward to it too. I'm hunting period C here in the Southwest because I did not get a permit. We applied for a zone 6 way up north and did not get a permit. So we are buying leftovers, and I've got a couple of those, and we have a preference point for next year. So maybe we'll get a permit up north because we'd like to hunt our own property up north.
Sure.
And last weekend, of course, I was at Kalahari in the Dells for that expo I mentioned, and we raffled off a Hort hunting blind and a wall of guns. I think we gave away 5 guns to support the Midwest Outdoor Heritage Education Expo. That's something Robert ought to go to if his school has that that available field trip for kids. Do they do that, do you know?
You know, I don't think they do. They do it right now, but there's been a number of things that we've actually introduced to the school over the course of our tenure there, including the fourth grade tree program that the state of Wisconsin has. That was something they hadn't done until Robert hit fourth grade. So I think introducing something like this to them would be great.
And then you get to go as a chaperone if you want to.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
The dads say they love that field trip because they get to see all and do some of the stuff, but of course the kids
sure. Get it.
And folks know that I'm hosting another trip to Ballard's Black Island Resort on the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods in September. They've sold all of their summer dates, and there's only one other opening, as far as I know, in September besides my trip. So if anyone's interested, we've got a few spots left, and we can handle 20 in all. So if you're interested, visit blackisland.com, pull down the trips tab, and look for my name. That's blackisland.com. The Wisconsin Conservation Congress and DNR are holding their annual spring hearing. Now, Jeff, you were on the Congress for a while. For folks who don't know how that works, how does that evening work? It's April 14th this year.
Yeah, so it is a little bit different now that the you have a lot of online access versus what, you know, it was solely in person. But really what the opportunity is here is for the citizens of the state of Wisconsin to do a couple of different things. One, there's going to be proposal questions, kind of general, getting a feel of how the state feels about certain rule changes, some proposed ideas that are floating around out there. Some of them are great ideas. Some of them need to be tweaked a little bit. Some of them are a little out there.
Yeah.
But there'll be opportunities to voice your opinion and vote on those. There'll also be opportunities to vote on actual rule changes, things that are coming down the pike that the citizens will have their hand in accepting or denying. And then there'll also be the opportunity to vote in your county delegates. So there'll be individuals within your county that are representing you through the Conservation Congress, and those delegates come up for vote every 2 or 3 year terms. And each year there's at least a couple of delegates in each county that are up for re-election or could be voted on to become a delegate for the first time. And so really an important opportunity, something that's really rare in the United States, that we as citizens in a state get as much say and play in regards to our natural resources and the things that we get to do and plan. And I really encourage everybody to take this opportunity to get involved, whether you do it online, whether you go in person, whether you want to become a delegate or not, to be involved in it and really make your voices heard.
Absolutely. And again, it's April 14th. It starts at 6 p.m. There are online opportunities that go for another couple days. You can learn all about it and see all the questions on the DNR website. Just type in the keywords spring hearing. Well, coming up, charter captain Dumper Dan Welch gets ready for spring fishing on Lake Michigan. Realtor Alex Weber offers tips for buying land in the Driftless area, and Dr. Gary Richter shares some advice for keeping pets safe and healthy on outdoor adventures. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com. Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is veterinarian Dr. Gary Richter. He's the author of The Ultimate Pet Health Guide and was named Holistic Practitioner of the Year by the Holistic Veterinary Medical Association in 2019. His website, ultimatepetnutrition.com, offers advice on pet health and nutrition and a line of supplements and freeze-dried foods for cats and dogs. And he's been featured on numerous TV and radio programs, and he joins us now from Northern California. Dr. Richter, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. Now, a lot of dog owners take their pups on hikes all year round. And, of course, our hunting dogs spend the fall in the woods with us. But some wild plants our pets encounter, especially in spring, can be detrimental to their health. Can you tell us about what the problems are and what we can do about them?
Yeah, sure. Taking your dog out during the summertime is one of the great joys of having a dog, particularly if you live in places like you do in the Midwest where winter is not a fun thing.
Right.
Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, our version of winter is a little bit different than yours.
Yeah.
So, you know, that said, you take your dog out during the summertime and, you know, you need to be careful. There's things out there from a plant perspective that we want to be careful about. You know, most of this involves your dog eating potentially toxic plants. So, you know, we're talking about plants like milkweed, wild parsnip. You guys have a black walnut tree that grows out there. The walnuts themselves are not toxic, but they grow a very specific type of mold, which actually is toxic. You know, there's a couple of other plants, may apple, etc. Two of the things that are not toxic in the technical sense, but are still problematic. One of them is things like poison oak, poison ivy. Classically, these are not things that dogs actually have a reaction to, but they can get that resin on their fur and then bring it back to you.
Oh boy.
So yeah. That's no fun. And then there's what we out here in California refer to as foxtails. I think they go by varying names in different parts of the country. They're little seed heads that grow in certain types of grasses. And effectively, these seed heads, they're very, very pointy on one end, and they kind of like flare out into these wispy filaments on the other end. And what winds up happening is these little seed heads can get stuck between your dog's toes, and they can literally burrow into the skin and get stuck in there. They can also wind up in ears, eyes, you know, just about any place in the dog you can imagine. And when they get stuck in there, a lot of times they will cause infection, they'll cause pain. They have to be surgically removed by a veterinarian. These are all really important things to keep an eye out for when you're taking your dog out, particularly if you're letting your dog off leash in the outdoors.
Yeah, you mentioned those seeds that get in the dog's toes or between the toes. I had Springer Spaniels for years, and occasionally they would get one of those little seeds. It's like a spade, and it has barbs on it if you look at it closely. And I first discovered them when in the webbing between the toes, there was like a pustule forming on the top of the webbing, and what I later discovered was that seed had actually migrated through the skin and popped out on top.
Yeah, they will absolutely do that. That's a good outcome when it finds its way out. But sometimes they will literally get in between the toes and start traveling up the leg.
Ooh.
And they can be very, very difficult to find and remove. So, again, these are really, really important things to look out for. And if your dog's been running around outside, you definitely want to have a look, you know, at their feet and their toes when they get back. Because it takes a while for these things to kind of burrow in. So if you find them quickly and you remove them, then you can save both yourself and your dog an awful lot of problems.
Yeah, we learned to do that after the first couple times that happened. Now, what about poisoning, especially if your dog's off leash, a hunting dog? On a hiking trail, you're supposed to have a dog on leash, but what if your dog on or off leash ingests something? How can you tell whether he or she has been poisoned?
That's a great question. And, you know, most native plants are actually not toxic. But there are ones out there that are. We, you know, I was just talking about several of them. You're looking for things like vomiting, diarrhea, gagging, retching, lethargy, anything that doesn't look right when your dog is outside. Sometimes these things will happen very shortly after ingestion. Sometimes it could happen a couple of hours later. If you're noticing anything that seems off in that way, you want to get your pet to the veterinarian and get them checked out immediately.
Got it. Should we carry anything with us when we're out hiking with our pets?
You always want to make sure that you're taking enough water
yep.
for them in particular. Realize that, you know, your dog's outside having fun. They don't necessarily think about stopping to drink. And, you know, as we've all heard, if you're outside doing things and you wait until you're thirsty to drink, you're already dehydrated. That is equally as true when it comes to dogs. So it's our job to kind of be their conscience and make sure that they stop and they rest and they get some shade and they're not getting overheated. You know, another thing to keep an eye out for, depending on where you're taking your dog, is you want to be very careful about allowing your dog to walk on asphalt when it's hot outside. They can literally burn their feet.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing. You know, I mean, generally speaking, like trails and grasses are fine in that sense, but you know, you want to make sure that their feet are not going to get hurt. One other thing that came to mind when you were asking about poisoning is venomous snakes. Depending on where you live, you probably have one or more native venomous snakes in the area. And, you know, that's also a very, very important thing to keep an eye out for. It's kind of very geographically specific to, you know, to understand what's out there. But, you know, realize that springtime and early summer actually is usually the most dangerous time from the standpoint of a dog or a person for that matter when it comes to being bitten by venomous snakes, because these snakes have been hibernating all winter. They're hungry. Their venom sacs are full. So bites tend to be really, really bad in the, you know, in the springtime and early summer. So making sure that your dog, you keep them away from areas where there's snakes as much as you can. There is such a thing as rattlesnake aversion training, where you can actually train dogs if they hear that noise that they will run the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a thing as a rattlesnake vaccine for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it doesn't prevent them from being bitten, but it decreases the effect of the venom. Now, that's not to say that if your dog gets bitten by a snake, they still need immediate medical attention, vaccinated or no, but it gives them a much, much better chance if they should be bitten by a rattlesnake.
Uh-huh. We do have two species of rattlesnakes here, but they are pretty reclusive, and I've never seen one myself. We have more encounters with skunks and porcupines, and that's a whole other problem.
Yeah, skunks, it's not so much toxicity as it is a major hassle for everybody. Porcupines, you know, it's funny. Like, I grew up in Florida, and then I moved to California, so porcupines is not a thing I've ever really had experience with. But my understanding is it can be pretty horrifying
if
a dog gets their nose in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah. Just post one photo online and you'll get all kinds of hunting dog photos of dogs with face full of porcupine quills. You'd go to the vet. That's what you do. There are ways to get them out, but I won't try to get into that here. Well, we've got to wrap this up, Dr. Richter, but tell us about Pets for Vets. What is that all about?
Pets for Vets is a charity that my company, Ultimate Pet Nutrition, donates some of our proceeds to. What we do is we help support veterans by connecting them with animals and with service dogs that will help them either with physical challenges they may have or PTSD. We're thrilled to be able to provide some resources for our veterans. And anybody that's ever worked with a service dog in any fashion or another understands the unbelievable benefit that these animals can have for people in need. And you know, certainly there's nobody more deserving in our society than our veterans. We're thrilled to be able to offer some of our proceeds to Pets for Vets.
Fantastic. And I understand your production facility is in Wisconsin, or at least part of it.
That is a true statement. You know, it is a new production facility, say in the last 3 or 4 years. We've just expanded by about another 100,000 square feet or so. You know, we make freeze-dried foods there. We make all of our treats there. It's an absolutely beautiful facility.
Fantastic. Well, we'll have to have you on again sometime and maybe talk about pet nutrition.
Sounds great. I'd love to.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we will be in touch.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Folks, that was Dr. Gary Richter. He is a veterinarian in the San Francisco Bay Area. And his website, where you can learn about everything we've talked about and more, is ultimatepetnutrition.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is Alex Weber of First Weber Realty, located in central Wisconsin, actually all over the state. His personal website is wildlandprop.com, wildlandprop.com. Alex, you are a sponsor of the Deer Hunt Wisconsin show, and we certainly appreciate that and welcome you aboard.
Thanks, Dan. I think our deer hunting tradition is incredibly important to the state, so I'm happy to be a part of this, as I think your tradition is a part of it as well.
Well, we certainly appreciate your support, and you grew up in the family real estate business, didn't you?
I did, yep. Most of my uncles, my dad have been in real estate my whole life, but they're also very dedicated outdoorsmen, so it's been a bit of a life out in the outdoors, and I'm always kind of in the real estate space as well.
And of course, First Weber sells all kinds of properties, from homes to second homes to raw land, and your focus is wild land properties, so wildlandprop.com. We want to talk to you today about selecting recreational property. That's for most folks, that's second home, but not always, or just a location where they might hunt deer and turkey and so on. And you focus primarily on the Driftless area, right?
I do, yeah, primarily on the Driftless area, although I'll go all around the state for special properties that kind of bring something fun to the table. But primarily second homes or people looking to kind of live the dream if you're in an area that allows you to do it. So we do deal with homes as well, but a lot of recreational property.
Yeah, and of course, my wife and I moved here about a dozen years ago, and we say that we are living the dream. Although when the snow comes in April, you wonder about that dream sometimes. But for somebody who comes to you and says, hey, I'm looking for property in southwest Wisconsin, how do you help them select the right kind of property for them?
So the first thing is really, what are their needs, what are their goals, and then what's their budget look like? Everybody's very different, very similar to every property is extremely different. When you're looking at recreational land or a country home, it's very different from your three-bedroom, two-bath home that you find another 80 of them in the same neighborhood. There's a lot of different factors that go into what you want and then how it's going to affect the price. Are you a dedicated fly fisherman that wants to be close to some of our driftless streams, or are you a deer hunter, or are you just looking for quiet enjoyment? And outdoor recreation can really change where you want to be, as well as how far do you want to be from home, or is this going to be your home, and what does that area look like? And as you know, Dan, we've got a very diverse state, so there's kind of pockets of incredible things all over the place. And matching people up with those pockets is something that I think we do a really great job of. We also represent a lot of sellers, and finding that buyer that appreciates every bit of their property and is willing to come up and pay the best price is what we're specializing in as well.
And the Driftless area, of course, presents not only unique opportunities, that some of which you've touched on, but also some unique challenges. We've got coulees that flood when there's heavy rain and rivers that overflow sometimes. How do you focus on finding property in the Driftless that is not going to be more of a liability than an asset?
Absolutely. And that is where knowing somebody's needs is such a huge piece there, because for some people, they live close enough. All they're looking for is a place they can go chop wood and chase a turkey around, but they don't have the budget necessarily to own the top of the hill. Some of those flood zones can be very affordable, but they're not going to fit for somebody that needs to have a cabin or hopes to put their home there someday. So figuring out what somebody really needs is a huge part of it. And those factors can be huge as well in the pricing of properties. Is how do you access it? Sometimes you do have that hilltop, but the only way to get there is just cross the river. And to cross the river, if it's a trout stream, there's only certain ways you can do it. Most of them, you got to drive through it, or you got to put a DOT spec bridge over it. So, you know, it can kind of eliminate a property from somebody's search, but that actually might fit well for another buyer that doesn't mind having to go over the river and is more interested in getting into their slice of heaven at an affordable price.
Now, speaking of affordable price, how are property values now, and what kind of trends have you seen?
Property values are still very, very strong. You know, there's a little bit of uncertainty in the market really as a whole, but hard assets are something that people look at in times of question, and we're still seeing very strong numbers and very strong interest. Not to say there isn't a deal to be found. You know, there's still properties that are poorly marketed or don't necessarily recognize some of the features that bring value versus another property that you can get in at an affordable price, but you have to be ready for those. And sometimes you have to kind of be able to see the forest through the trees and be able to pick out those hidden gems. But as far as sellers go, it is definitely still a seller's market. If you're willing to price it correctly and market it well and really prepare it so it's in a kind of turnkey shape, we're seeing really strong numbers in a short amount of time.
Now, if someone's looking for property, I think maybe the uneducated or unsophisticated approach would be to ask you, well, what's the price per acre? Or, you know, what do you deal with that question, or how do you deal with that question?
Yeah, we deal with that question all the time, and it is tough. It's a tough one to just say, hey, property in this county is $7,500 an acre, $4,500 an acre, because it, again, changes incredibly drastically, and it's down to soil types. You know, I've seen tillable properties selling for over $20,000 an acre when it's really prime tillable with easy access where you can pull a semi right into a field and pull your corn off. And then tillable that you have to climb up a hill on a less than great rock road. You know, everything's being used, small tractors to come on and off, and some of those tillable acres aren't worth any more than woods. So it really depends on what this type of land is, how accessible it is, both as a harvesting standpoint as well as a use standpoint, that affect those numbers. But, you know, you can generalize, especially if you're just looking at wooded property based on counties or areas, on price per acre, but you have to understand that there's quite a bit of change with the factors involved. You know, black walnut, for one source, in a forest can be a big helper, because a black walnut tree can be thousands of dollars for a single tree. Mm-hmm. But it's not every black walnut tree. You know, you have to have the right forest. Freshly cut timber is usually worth less. Having a keen eye for all of that stuff and being able to break it down and put all the pieces together to figure out a price is very valuable.
Yeah, speaking of wooded property and walnuts, you know, driving around, I see what are obviously walnut groves that were planted some time ago, because I see a lot of them are, I don't get out and measure them, but I'd say 4 inches to maybe 6-8 inches in diameter, not harvestable yet, I don't think, as certainly not as veneer logs. But how is the timber market these days in the Southwest, and how much of a factor is that in somebody's calculation of buying or selling?
Outside of black walnuts, I wouldn't say there's a huge difference in price per acre when you're looking at most of the other tree species. It's definitely a factor, but not to the degree that black walnut brings. There's black walnut and then there's everything else when it comes to the timber market. But there's also a lot of other niche markets you can kind of into, one of which is maple syrup. there's some business happening that way as well, but it doesn't always affect price per acre like a black walnut specifically. You know, the beauty of an old growth forest can definitely matter versus scrub brush when you see value and what people are really looking for. You want to buy, for the most part, a beautiful piece of a beautiful area versus the kind of rundown or overused property.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of maple syrup, I see this time of year a lot of those blue lines going from trees to collection tanks. So a lot of people in our area, and I do live in the Driftless, as listeners know, are tapping trees right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're on the back end of it now, but it's definitely a fun activity that you can do with family. We own a farm in the Driftless as well, and my favorite thing is doing camps. And we have sugar camp, and we have turkey camp, and we have trout camp, and deer camp, and all the excuses to get together with family and friends and share the outdoors, because I think that's really what it's all about. The more you get into it, the more opportunities you have. I think the more you get into the sharing of land versus just your raw use of it. And it's, to me, just another excuse and another reason why owning a bit of land on your own is so valuable for everybody, not just the deer hunter.
Yeah, and you mentioned trout in passing there. And before we let you go, I got to ask you, because we have trout streams pretty much everywhere here. What's your advice if a trout fisherman wants to buy land? Should he buy land on a trout stream or near a trout stream?
That's a great question. I love that question because I've been fly fishing since I was about 4 years old. So it's one that's near and dear to my heart. And it really, again, comes down to what you want and what you need. I know I've had clients that it was a dream to restore a trout stream. And there's a lot of programs you can work with and do some really great work on streams without having a huge incurred cost. But if that's your dream, if you want to create that hole and, you know, name it after your grandkid, for sure, let's go find you something that has a stream running through it. However, if you're just looking to get out and use the resource, we have a huge number. It's really on the level of world-class trout fishing as far as the abundance of trout streams in the Driftless region. You don't need to own the stream to be able to really take advantage of it because we have so much access as well. There's a ton of easements. There's a ton of bridges you can get in. As long as your feet are wet, you're legal, even if there isn't an easement there. So the opportunity to go fish other streams is huge in the state of Wisconsin. And sometimes you just kind of need that gateway property to get you out there to really take advantage of it. And it again, comes down to, one, what is your budget? Because a class one trout stream is not going to hurt your values. But, you know, if you just want to get out there and use it, there's a ton of opportunities.
Absolutely. Well, Alex, thank you so much for that great advice. I'm sure there are some folks thinking about recreational property and maybe even moving here to the Driftless. We meet a lot of new residents in this area every single year. It's a growing part of the state for sure. And I appreciate your help.
No problem. Happy to help.
Folks, Alex Weber with First Weber Realty, selling property throughout Wisconsin, but focusing here on the Driftless area. You can reach him directly at wildlandprop.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge, and members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters.
Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkaline and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Well, the Lake Michigan fishing season is actually underway, and the trolling charter boat season will be here before you know it. So we're launching our regular bi-weekly reports now with Captain Dumper Dan Welsh. He's proprietor of Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store, with some new developments that we'll ask him about. They're located on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan and on the web at DumperDan.com. And you'll find updates on his Facebook page, including a video and audio recording of every report that we record for Outdoors Radio. And that is at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. Well, Dan, welcome back and thanks for joining us again.
You betcha, Dan. It's great to be back. And spring is kind of in the air on some days, other days not so much. But we're getting the itch over here to get the boats in the water, phones ringing. A lot of people are booking their dates and making the reservations with us. And there's been some boats on the lake, too, some, you know, private anglers and pier fishermen. Not charter boats as of yet, but that's coming real soon.
Yeah. Well, last time we talked with you, you were ice fishing on Lake Winnebago. And now that the ice is history, time to talk about sport fishing. And we'll get into that in just a minute here, but you added a new condo to your business, I understand?
Yeah, I just purchased another condo on the riverfront. It's right next to my place on South Pier Drive, and it's my largest condo unit. It's basically a four-bedroom, two-bath. It sleeps a lot of people. Got two balconies outside that you can go on. A very nice place. Purchased that just a few weeks ago. We needed more lodging. And like you know, Dan, we do a lot of lodging and fishing packages, and Carver Winds Hotel and a few other hotels, Grand Stay, you know, I can put people at as well. But usually what goes first and fills up the quickest are condos on the river. So we offer them as well. And a lot of different options, you know, from different size condos to hotel rooms to suites. Where the action is, they're down on the river by our store and our charter boat. So, yeah, very happy to bring that into our equation of lodging and fishing. I did post a bunch of pictures on our Facebook page of that building and the bedrooms and whatnot, and very nice. So we can do all sorts of things for our folks. And some people that just come into town for a day, want to fish and go, we can do that as well. But if you want to stay a night or two or three, we can do that for you too.
And that way you can, say, fish an afternoon one day and stay overnight, fish the morning the next day, and even extend it sometimes if you've got availability, right?
Well, sure, yeah, the packages are nice that way where you drive out in the morning and get here midday, noonish, 1 o'clock, and we always get you in the condo before fishing, and boats usually head out early afternoon and fish till almost dark and then stay that night, fish bright and early the next morning and check out after fishing. It's something I, you know, built here over my 40 years of being in business to do the lodging and the fishing, and it's worked out really well for us and our customers.
Yeah, it certainly has. Now, the other thing you and I both do all winter long is we're at sports shows. How was the season for you?
It was good. Attendance was very, very good. I was very impressed. I went out to the Dakotas, then I did a show in the cities. So I covered, you know, Minnesota and the Dakotas, and that's kind of, you know, my main customer base all west of Sheboygan. And of course, we get a lot of Wisconsin folks too, but
It was good. The attendance was good. People were anxious. They were scheduling all sorts of things here and there on where they wanted to go on a vacation destination. And we booked a lot of them over the table. I did. Got a lot of reservations and a lot of contacts. And people are still calling from them shows and booking because we hand out our brochures and a lot of literature. But it was fun. It was a good time to be out and about with all them folks. Saw a ton of repeat customers. It was great to talk fishing. And they show me their pictures on their phones of what they caught with us previous years. So it was good to reach out to them folks and kind of travel around this off season.
I'm sure it was. Well, when do you launch? When are you going to put those boats in the water?
In a couple weeks. We're pretty much ready. Bottoms are painted. Everything's buffed and waxed. We're putting line on reels right now. Ice pushed out a couple weeks ago in the Sheboygan River, about the second week of March, give or take. We're going to be going here in the water here early to mid-April, kind of like we did last year. We do have reservations in April. We are taking reservations, obviously, for April, May, June, and all summer long into fall season right now. Phone's been very busy. We're hoping for a good coho salmon push again this year. We had it last year. Solid month of great coho fishing all of May and June, so hopefully that'll happen. But right now, Dan, guys are on the pier. In fact, George went out the other day on the pier, casted for a while and caught some brown trout. There's been some trollers out that have been trolling up and down the shoreline for brown trout this early season. So there are boats, you know, on the water, on the lake here out of the Port of Sheboygan. The boat landing docks have been in for a couple of weeks so you can moor your boat safely and get in and out. The charter boat docks are going in the water this week, so they're getting put in and installed. So we'll be in shortly after that and getting our fleet ready to go on the water.
Very good. Now, George is one of your captains. In fact, you worked for him before you got started in business, didn't you?
I did. I worked for George back in the early 80s, late 70s. Seems like a long time ago, Dan. But
it was.
But yeah, and him, George and I have been together forever. And I mean, I'm so glad I got to work for him. And then he came over here and helps me tremendously with my business. He runs my Dumper Dam number 5 boat. We go way back and we've been through a lot together, and he's been a big help in this company. And our crew's all back this year. We got pretty much everybody back, first mates and cleaners and condo store people and captains. And George, of course, is one of them. He helps out at my shop too, getting boats ready. So it's pretty cool. He got out on a pier the other day and sent us a picture of a couple brown trout. He said he was the first on board for this year, so he did catch the first brown trout out of all of us.
Well, there you go. And isn't he the guy who gave you your name, actually?
Yes, yeah, that's a good question, and that's the truth. What happened back in the day, late 70s, I was 13, 14 years old, working on his charter boat. I lost some fish in the landing net, which landing a fish, Dan, as you know, is not that easy to do.
It's tricky.
And for me, it was even more difficult. So at the end of the day, or end of the year, I should say, he bought me a charter fishing jacket of his company. And on the front, it said Dumper Dan the Net Man.
Yeah. And you were,
and it stuck.
You were smart enough to say, now there's an original name and I can run with that. And you have.
I have, and my parents actually talked me into it when I started Dumper Dan's in 1985, right out of the chute with my first boat, and I was going to name it something else, and my mom was actually, and my dad both said, you got to call it Dumper Dan, and I'll tell you, man, you go to them sport shows, Dan, like I just was at, and so many people remember that name and recognize it and heard of it, so it definitely helped in business.
Well, you were branded before branding became a thing, I tell you. And it has certainly helped you.
You're spot on with that, yeah. Right?
Well, you are booking now for spring and summer. What do you think this season's going to look like?
I think it's going to look good. I know we've, you know, had kind of a normal winter like we used to have as far as cold and ice and winds. I think our spring will be right on track here. I've already heard they're catching cohos on the south end of the lake in Indiana, Illinois already. So I think there was such an abundance of coho salmon last year. Population's just ginormous, and I think that's going to really help us, that these fish are going to cruise up the shoreline northbound and get through Milwaukee, Port Washington, Sheboygan, I think pretty much on time. I really do. There's a lot of bait in the lake, and I think the coho bite's going to be phenomenal again. And actually, we'll be on TV here in a couple weeks on Midwest Outdoors, Bally Sports, with our coho show that we filmed last year on May 12th, I believe it was. Limited out on them cohos. So I think we're going to start out good with them and then go right into the kings and the steelhead, some lake trout and everything mixed in. So last year was some big numbers, one of the best years I've seen in a long time, and I think this year will be the same.
Well, it sounds like a good season is in the offing. Have you got anything else to tell us before we let you go?
No, we're just basically now we're stocking the store with all our apparel, folding hoodies and shirts and getting hats and stock and this and that for our riverfront store. So, you know, definitely stop in if you're in the area. We're at 676 South Pier Drive on the riverfront here in Sheboygan. Definitely get on the horn. Give me a call here on the cell phone, 920-377-1147. Get them reservations in. If you have any questions, you can text, call, or email me, dan@dumperdan.com or website dumperdan.com. But definitely get thinking summer and your vacation plans because it's just around the corner and a lot of people are on it already. We are taking reservations every single day.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much. I hope you have a very smooth launch of your six boats in the next few days, next couple of weeks, and we will talk to you very soon.
You bet. Thank you, and we'll keep you updated all throughout the summer.
Sounds good. Folks, that was Dumper Dan Welch with the first, actually second report, because we did talk to him from the ice a couple of weeks ago. But this is the launch of our spring and summer reports from Sheboygan on Lake Michigan. And his website, as he mentioned, is dumperdan.com. And you'll find this report and every one we do this year on his Facebook page, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend and on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Be sure to join them for their launch into summer, April 9 through 12. They'll have daily seminars and a brat fry on Saturday the 12th to benefit the West Bend High School Fishing Club. You can find details on their website, cedarlakesales.com. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC, of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com. And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin isn't airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, my annual special that airs in November, is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel. And if you missed anything we mentioned on the show, you can always listen online at lake-link.com/radio. And you can subscribe to our podcast there and download episodes going back a year or so. And our show is also available on other platforms, including outdoornews.com/podcasts. We're all over social media. You can find Jeff at Hardwater Jeff and me at Dan Small Outdoors. And if you're interested in Pewaukee Lake, Don't forget there's a free presentation coming up next Tuesday, the 8th, at 6:30 p.m. at the Pewaukee Public Library. It's a presentation by DNR biologist Rachel Saber on Pewaukee Lake and Pewaukee River. For details, visit womansclubofpewaukee.com. Next Thursday, April 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m., Raised at Full Draw presents a seminar on self-filming your next turkey hunt. A virtual seminar it is, but participation is limited, so you need to apply ahead of time. And to register, go to raisedatfulldraw.com. That's next Thursday, April 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m. From the DNR, they're recruiting wardens for the class of 2026. If you've ever thought of becoming a conservation warden, go to the DNR website and check out keywords, warden recruitment. And if you've never gone bear hunting but would like to try it, you can try the Learn to Bear Hunt opportunity, which is available to a limited number of participants. They're also looking for mentors for those hunters. So go to the DNR website, and the keywords are Learn to Hunt Bear. And if you're into planting native vegetation to support bees and other pollinators, now's the time to order your plants from the DNR. The keyword there are native plants. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. His next performance is Friday, May 2nd. It's at the Harbor Table in Washburn. As always, come for the show, which starts at 4, and stay for the fish fry. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small. Get outside this weekend, and be sure to join us next week for Outdoors Radio.